Take your Bibles and turn to Job chapter 42, where your president read a moment ago. Thank you so much for that wonderful music. And thank you for being here so willingly, all of you, and for this great worship experience. I want to thank Dr. Dockery, Todd Brady, for allowing me to come. I want you to know how much I respect all of you students, how much we're counting on you for the next generation to lead us and our churches, to lead us in our country. And I thank God for Union University and for you and for your contribution to my life and my generation. I don't think Dr. Fant is here. I think they're having a special faculty study with the trustees, but I was Gene Fant's pastor when he was a seminary student. And I want you to know how much I respect your faculty, and Dr. Fant is just an example of the kind of people you have leading. He came to our church in New Orleans as a student when we pastored there several years ago, and you know, when he just walked in the door, the room lit up with that happy face, and while he was a student, he was active in his church. He taught youth Sunday school as a student. He was a contributor. He always had a good word for his pastor, who was myself during those years. And I was just thrilled when Gene came to be professor here. He's the kind of faculty you have. I want you to know he's real. Your faculty are so true to the Word of God. And I believe in Union University, and I thank God for it. There's the R.G. Lee Library down the hall. You've probably walked by that and said, okay, there it is. What is it? Before you leave this institution, I don't know what it takes to get in there. I'm sure you can. You may have to have permission, but go in there and just sit and peruse the library. I've often wondered, what makes a university different? Why do some Christian and Baptist universities seem to rise above the others? And I think it's because of people like an R.G. Lee, who none of you probably ever heard preach except perhaps on tape. But R.G. Lee loved Union University. He passed away, went to be with Jesus in 1977, before most of you were born. When I was 9 years old, Dr. Dockery, my parents took me to hear R.G. Lee preach. The place was overflowing. It was after his retirement in 1960. I was just a lad. We couldn't even get a seat in the auditorium. And so my parents wanted me to hear Dr. Lee preach, so we all stood up behind the choir loft. And I sat on the steps leading up to the choir loft as a little 9 or 10 year old boy, and I couldn't even see Dr. Lee preach, but he preached on Jesus, which was always his favorite subject. And he did something that I'd never heard anybody do. I've heard it since, but I think they all got it from Dr. Lee. He took the alphabet and started with A, B, C, and except for X and Z. He named 4 or 5 names in the Bible that the Bible had for Jesus. And I walked away from that sermon as a lad saying, wow, Jesus must be mighty and wonderful to have all that in the Bible about him. So the legacy of R.G. Lee, I think, is one of the reasons that Union University has maintained its spiritual stance. I want to preach this morning on a subject that I do so with fear and trembling, because I want it to be totally biblical. The title is, What Did God Say Through the Hurricane of August the 29th? Basically, what I'm asking is, does God speak through natural disasters? I had another sermon all prepared for you. Matter of fact, I had printed it out. It will be distributed to you or be available on the book of Genesis. But when this Hurricane Katrina hit 1 month ago tomorrow, my heart was captured because I had pastored in New Orleans. I had taken the exit every day off that interstate where all those people gathered outside the Superdome. I know the city well, but more than that, it was a Category 5. It was the third most powerful hurricane in the century. And then 2 weeks later, another one hits the top 5 list in terms of barometric reading. And I started searching the scriptures. I would have to give Henry Blackaby the credit for the birthing of this sermon series, because I preached 4 sermons on what is God saying through the hurricane. After the tsunami, Dr. Blackaby, who's been on this campus, who is the best-selling author of Lifeway books, who has been known worldwide for his ministry, said, we need to listen very closely to God after a natural disaster, because God is always speaking and He wants us to hear His voice after a natural disaster. And He used 2 Chronicles 7, 13 and 14. We know verse 14, if my people which are called by my name. But verse 13 talked about a natural disaster. If I withhold rain or if I send famine, I'm sending you a message. Dr. Blackaby said, go to the Bible. Search the Scriptures as to what God is saying after a natural disaster. And so he forced me to the Word of God. And I want to summarize in 3 points today, a four-sermon series in the next 20 minutes. There are three things God is saying out of Job chapter 42. He's saying these three things. I am sovereign. Trust me. Secondly, he's saying, I am full of sympathy. Be like me. I am the only Savior. Proclaim me. Job's life is a perfect setting to preach a message on what is God saying through natural disasters. The 42nd chapter of Job, which was read so wonderfully by your president, I want to give an aside here. B.H. Carroll said, be careful how you read Scripture. Practice the public reading. And Dr. Dockery was a wonderful example of someone who obviously had read the Scripture before he came up here. He didn't just pick up the Bible and read it. You could tell by the inflections that he had read the Scripture before he came up here, and he read it with passion and human and spiritual enthusiasm. So if you're a worship leader, practice reading the Scriptures aloud. That was a tremendous example of how to read Scripture publicly, and I appreciated it. Job 42 is one of the happiest chapters in the Bible. Job had just been through a terrible storm. I don't need to rehearse it to you. You learned all about it in Old Testament class, I'm sure. Job had lost everything from a tornado. His children were all killed, a natural disaster. He had lost all his possessions through tragedy and theft and invading of marauders. His wife had had a nervous breakdown. He had considered committing suicide. She said, curse God and die. Job's life fell apart in one day. And then in Job 42, we see the storm has passed. Job begins to get well. And I think Job 42 is one of the happiest chapters in the Bible. And I believe we can see these three things that God said to Job after the natural disaster. First, God said to Job, and He says to us, through the hurricane of last month and through the hurricane of last week, I am sovereign. Trust me. And it was certainly there in verse 3 of chapter 42. Who is this that hide counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered things I did not understand. Verse 2, I know that you can do everything. Job humbled himself and said, God, you are in charge. That is a great lesson, students. That is a great lesson, men and women, to understand that God is in total charge of everything. Don't try to explain God. Job realized that was impossible. But submit to the fact that He is sovereign. Now, sovereign is a great word. I hope you'll learn the meaning of it, not just the definition, but in your heart. When God says, I am sovereign, it is God saying, I am God. And because I am God, I can do anything I want to do. And I will do anything I choose to do to whomever I choose to do it. But whatever I do, don't leave out this part, will always be wise, will always be loving, will always be just, and always will ultimately be for your good if you'll just trust me. So I hope that you've understood the sovereignty of God. Job came to understand that God was in charge. He said, in my sovereignty, trust my power. I can bring a hurricane. How powerful can God be? You say, well, did God create that hurricane? My friend, I have to say He did. And let me give you Scripture. Psalm 148, praise the Lord from the earth, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind, fulfilling his word. Psalm 107, for God commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. He calms the storms so the waves are still. Does God send thunder? Moses, Exodus 9, stretched out his rod toward heaven. The Lord sent thunder and hail. 1 Samuel 12 in his great swan song message to the Jews just before his death. So Samuel called to the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord. God brings thunder. God brings storms. God is the creator of these things. God said to Noah, Genesis 6, I myself am bringing the flood waters to the earth. God creates these things. God created hurricanes. Certainly these are beyond our understanding of all the reasons he does these things, but he says, I'm sovereign, trust my power. Then he also says, I'm sovereign, trust my providence. Providence is another great word I hope you'll learn. Sovereignty is a wonderful word. Providence is another great word. It comes from two Latin words, which means providio, to see beforehand. God is a God of sovereignty, and providence is the loving application of his sovereignty. It means he can see beforehand. It's a wonderful thought. I don't believe in fatalism. I don't believe in that at all. But I do believe in God's providence in my life. God has already seen everything that's going to happen to my life. God has already mapped out my life. My job is to get in on what God is doing, and I must trust his power and trust his providence. You know, God's going to do some things in your life and my life. He's going to send some storms to you before life is over. You're going to say, oh, God, I don't want this. Oh, God, please don't let this be true. But it's going to happen. You must not only trust his power, you must trust his providence. In Genesis 50, 22, Joseph said to his brothers, after he was sold into slavery, then became the prime minister of Egypt, you meant it for evil, but God turned it for good. That's a God of providence. Job learned that, and we learned that in the hurricane. The evil hurricane comes, but God has a bigger plan that's bigger than what we saw when the Gulf Coast was just rolled back like a blanket and the largest evacuation of people in the history of the United States, the worst natural disaster, they say, in the history of our country. We have to believe he's powerful, but oh, he's got a providence. He's working something out. Have you ever heard of the Boll Weevil Monument? Any of you from L.A.? That's Lower Alabama, in case you don't know. In L.A., there's a city called Enterprise, Alabama. In 1915 and 16, the boll weevil came and destroyed the cotton crop. And all the farmers had to use up their resources and almost went bankrupt. But then without insecticides, they had to change their plan, and they began to plant something else that grew just as wonderfully in the rich soil of Lower Alabama, of South Alabama. They planted peanuts. Matter of fact, we got a president from that 1976 who did that in Georgia, Jimmy Carter, a peanut farmer. And they made more money raising peanuts than they ever made raising cotton. And they did something that's never been duplicated in the history of the world. They built a monument to an insect. And they have the Boll Weevil Monument, a 10-foot-high tall monument in the square of Enterprise, Alabama, with a large boll weevil being held at the top of a statue. And it says, in profound appreciation to the boll weevil and the prosperity it brought to South Alabama and the county where Enterprise dwells. A hurricane can be a boll weevil that comes in your life. And certainly these things we don't want, but we can trust his providence. The great fire of London in 1666 destroyed so many homes and took lives, but in retrospect, they came to understand that the great fire of London in 1666 was the only thing that finally stopped the Black Death plague of 1665. These are things we can say God is in charge. God worked out for Job this way. I love it. If you look at verse 14, Job got twice as much as he ever had before. God took everything away and gave him twice as much. A hurricane may take everything away, but God can give twice as much. He may take things away from you sometime in your life, but his power and his providence is to give you a greater blessing. I love Job's three daughters. I call it Jemima, but I think you probably had the correct Hebrew translation, Jemima. And Keziah and Karen Hoppeck. Jemima means dove. Keziah means perfume. Karen Hoppeck is one of my favorite names in the Bible for a girl. It literally means pretty face. God gave him 10 more children. And the word Karen Hoppeck in the Hebrew means cosmetic box. She was born. She looked so pretty as a little baby. Her face looked like it has cosmetics on it. It was just an illustration. You can trust the providence of God. Job spent the next 70 years. He no doubt was 70 years old when the trial came. He lived 140 years. God gave him twice as much of everything, including years. And for the next 70 years, he enjoyed all the blessings. That's the first and the longest point. The second point is I'm full of sympathy. Be like me. After the hurricane, America's sympathy has poured out, and that's been wonderful and so important. We must be like God in praying for others. In Job 40, verse 2, verse 10, it says, "The Lord restored Job's losses, restored his fortunes." The King James says, "turned his captivity," which is beautiful, picturesque language. When he prayed for his friends, Job's friends had been miserable comforters. They remind me of the person this really happened. I was visiting someone in a hospital room. Another person was there, and the other person asked, "What do you have wrong with you?" And they named some disease, which is not always fatal. And the other person standing next to me said, "Oh, my uncle died of that." Miserable comforters. Don't be like that. And Job's friends looked at him and said, "Job, what'd you do wrong? You had to sin." No, my friend, sometimes the best people have bad things happen. But Job had to learn not to be angry with his friends. And Job began to be healed when he prayed for others. You need to forgive everybody who's hurt you. You're never more like Jesus than when you forgive an enemy. Everybody wants to be forgiven, but no one wants to forgive. God says, forgive. He drew a circle that shut me out. Heretic, rebel, a thing to flout. But love and I had the wit to win. We drew a circle that brought him in. The hurricane teaches us, draw a circle that puts everybody in your circle. Don't make, you know what happens to so many people, they get bitter in life? I've seen it happen to ministers. Someone will hurt them, and they'll make their circle smaller. Another person will hurt them, they'll make their circle smaller. One thing I've tried to practice in ministry, if someone tries to hurt me in my church, and there's usually one out of 500 always trying to hurt you if you're going into the ministry, be ready for it. Somebody's always after you. That's just a little advice for you going into the ministry. It's true in every profession, every work. Somebody's always after you. But if there is someone who doesn't like you, go out of your way to be nice to them. Go to their face and shake their hand. Put your arm around them and pray for them. Kill them with kindness, if I may say it in that vernacular. And Job had to learn to pray for others. And then be like me in sharing with others. Verse 11 is a wonderful verse. It says, all his friends and family gave him silver and gold. They gave him a love offering like we're doing in America for disaster relief. Job took that money, cashed it in, and he reinvested, and he went out and bought two camels, and he went out and bought two oxen, and he went out and bought lamb, and they multiplied, and God blessed him. God wants you and me to be like him in sympathy and praying for others after the hurricane. God wants us to be like Christ in sharing with others. Have you given anything to the disaster relief offering at your local church? I'm a college student. I can't do that. You can give up a couple of fast food meals and maybe eat some cheese and crackers and give $20 next Sunday to the disaster relief. You ought to do that. You ought to be a tither. God wants you to give 10% of your income to the Lord. That's what Job's friends did. By the way, thank you for the word about the Tennessee Baptist Convention, and I'm proud that churches give money to lower your tuition that more students might come to a great Baptist institution. Did you know the third largest disaster relief agency in America is the Southern Baptist Convention, next to the Salvation Army and next to the Red Cross? And its cooperative program funds its people giving to those disaster relief offerings. You might want to go help a church in New Orleans rebuild in the next 12 months. I plan to take a group from our church. Maybe your church might want to do it. God is going to do a new thing in New Orleans. God is going to build a city that is more spiritual than ever before. So that's the second thing. I am sovereign. Trust me. That's what he said first of all to Job. I am full of sympathy. Be like me. That's the second thing God said to Job and to us after this hurricane. Finally, he says, I am the only Savior. Proclaim me. In verses 8 and 9, Job prayed for his friends. Verse 8, take yourself 7 bulls and 7 rams. Go to my servant Job. Job will pray for you, and I will accept him. It's a picture of Christ. These men needed to be saved. Job got right with God, but these three miserable comforters were not right with God. They needed to come to God and be saved. They needed a blood sacrifice. They needed a Savior, and Job offered a blood sacrifice for them and prayed for them when he got right with God, and he proclaimed God's forgiveness and sovereignty and love and mercy. So too, that's the third, maybe the most important lesson. God says, you need a Savior. What is God saying to America after the hurricane of August the 29th, a month ago tomorrow? God is saying to America, come to my Son, Jesus Christ. He says, I am sovereign, trust me. He says, I'm full of sympathy, be like me. But he's saying to all of us, I am the only Savior, proclaim me. Proclaim there's a place beyond this life. In verse 16, it said, Job lived 140 years. Job died full, old and full of days. Job is in heaven now, and Job's proclaiming how God's grace. We too need to proclaim a place called heaven, that this world is a temporary place, and there is a heaven beyond. Henry Drummond gave up a science professorship at Cambridge University to preach the gospel. The president said, don't you want to make a name for yourself in the world, Dr. Drummond? And Dr. Drummond said, yes, I do, but which world? Oh, this hurricane tells us there's a world beyond this world, and people died in it, and if they knew Jesus, they go to be with the Lord. If they don't know Jesus, they don't go to be with God. And this is the message God is saying. Everybody is going to die. The hurricane did not increase the death rate. It's still one of one. Everybody dies, and the hurricane says, get ready. You're going to die. And finally, that's the final point, proclaim the need to prepare. Natural disasters are God's loving reminder that there is a final storm coming. Jesus used a natural disaster in his Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew 7, he said, a storm is coming. And if you build your house upon a rock, you'll withstand the storm. But if you build your house upon sand, your house will fall, and great will be the fall of it. The application is this. There's the storm of the hurricane. It came. God said, I'm sovereign, trust me. God said, I'm full of sympathy, be like me. And God says, I am the only Savior. Prepare for death and proclaim me. We need to go into our world and say there's a storm coming called death. It's worse than the hurricane will ever be. There's a storm coming called judgment. For it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. And the only way you can survive the final storm is through being a Christian, through knowing Jesus Christ and standing on the solid rock. The church is a search and rescue team today. The real hurricane was sin that hit this planet in the Garden of Eden. And the hurricane of August the 29th, in one sense, is a result of that hurricane of sin that hit our world. And God sends us storms to remind us, prepare for that day. You'll stand before me. Come to know Jesus. I close with this story given by Haddon Robison. It's from a medieval setting. There was a master who owned expansive properties and oversaw a feudal kingdom. He had a simple man who worked for him, and he gave him a staff and said, you're the greatest fool on my kingdom. Carry this staff wherever you go. And if you find a greater fool than yourself, give it to him. It came a time for the rich master to die, and the simple man did not know he was dying. He went to see his master and said, Master, where are you going? The master said, I do not know. How long will you be gone? I shall never return. Are you ready to leave? No, I have made no preparation for this journey. How long have you known you would have to make this journey? Since I was a child. And the simple man said, you knew all these things since you were a child. Here, master, take my staff with you, for I have now met a greater fool than myself. We need to proclaim to the world there's a judgment coming. There's a journey called death. There's a storm called judgment. And the hurricane of August 29th is a loving reminder from God, come to know me, come to know Jesus, accept me as Savior and Lord, and when that day of the final hurricane of your life comes, you'll be able to sing, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. May we pray. Our Father, thank you for loving us so much that you put so many things in our way to remind us that this is a temporary place. And even that hurricane was a reminder that we need to get ready for the hurricane of old age, of death and judgment, and that you sent your precious Son on the cross, and he shed his precious blood for us that we might be saved. And you even sent an earthquake when he said, it is finished. And we thank you, Father, for these students who are building their life on Christ the solid rock, and he will go from this university to proclaim Jesus as the only Savior to the world. We praise you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.